Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The title of today's message is, Who is Jesus? This is part two of the series. Today, we're going to continue with our series that looks for answers to the question, Who is Jesus? There have always been many human opinions about who Jesus is. These different opinions can confuse us and they can hinder us as we seek to find and to follow Jesus. So we're looking to the Bible for answers that we can trust. Last week, we saw Jesus as the Word and we responded, My Lord and my God. Today, we will see Jesus as the Lamb of God. We first hear this title being given to Jesus by John the Baptist. It's recorded in John chapter 1 and verse 29. I'll read all texts from the New Living Translation. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To a non-Jew, the title Lamb of God can sound strange, even weird. But to the Jew, this title meant a great deal. Let me explain. When God rescued the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, he instituted a ritual called the Passover that would become an annual event in the life of the nation. You can read about that first Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Families were to take a perfect lamb or a goat, one without any defects, slaughter it, and smear its blood on the sides and top of the door frames of their houses. On the night of that first Passover, God killed the firstborn of every family in Egypt. But he passed over the houses where the blood of the lamb had been applied. The Passover lamb was therefore a very powerful symbol of God's mercy, remembering that night when he spared Israel from his judgment. As the rescued nation was traveling towards their promised land under the leadership of Moses, God made a covenant with Israel. This covenant required that the nation observed a set of laws. Many of those laws dealt with the problem of sin. In order to be forgiven their sins, the people had to present animals as sin offerings. The blood of an innocent animal had to be shed for the sins of the people. So we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Another important annual festival was the Day of Atonement. On that day, one animal was sacrificed and another was sent out into the wilderness, carrying the sins of the people. So the people were familiar with the concept of their sin being laid onto an innocent creature. You can read about this in Leviticus chapter 16. So when John declared, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he would have grabbed the full attention of every Jew who heard him. Here was a sacrificial lamb that would take away the sin of the whole world. The night before Jesus was crucified, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. During that meal, they would have remembered how the Lord had spared the lives of those people who had applied the blood of the Passover lamb onto the door frames of their homes. As they ate and drank the Passover meal, Jesus declared himself to be their Passover lamb. And he instituted a new covenant, which would both fulfill and surpass the old covenant made with Moses. Luke chapter 22 records this, verses 14 to 20. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Under the old covenant, the Passover required the sacrifice and blood of a lamb or goat. Under the new covenant, Jesus is the sacrifice. His body was killed and his blood was poured out. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For those Jewish disciples, Jesus' talk of a new covenant would have reminded them of a promise that God had made to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. Record in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." This is the glorious promise that the people of Israel had been waiting for. They had been unable to keep the old covenant, but God had promised a new one. This new covenant would solve the problem of the corrupted human heart that was just unable to keep covenant with God. God would change our hearts so that we could become righteous. And he would forgive our sins completely. There would no longer be a need for constant sacrificing because the Lamb of God had taken away the sin. As I was preparing these notes, I felt an excitement rise up in me. I'm sure that a similar excitement rose up inside of the hearts of everyone who heard John as he cried out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I'm sure the hearts of the disciples would have been deeply stirred as Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." The Lamb of God has come. He has dealt with the sin of the world. He has instituted the promised new covenant. Now we can live forgiven and free from the bondage of sin. The book of Hebrews is such a rich book of doctrine. It carefully and thoroughly compares the old covenant with the new covenant and explains why we needed a better sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Here is one powerful conclusion from this book, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. The old covenant sacrifices did not solve the problem of sin. Rather, they made the problem of sin very clear. They provided a way for people to approach God and worship, but they did not set the people free from sin. As the Lamb of God, Jesus offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He made a new way for us to be made right with God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, has made a way for us to be freed from that penalty of our sins. And he frees us from sin itself. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Let me read that again. We were set free from the power of sin. Friends, this is the glorious work of the Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice for sin. All who put their faith in his sacrifice for us are made right with God, set free from the penalty of sin, and set free from the power of sin. So, how should we respond to Jesus as the Lamb of God? I would submit to you that we should put our faith in him as our Savior. We should trust him completely as the complete solution to our sin. We should trust him to forgive our sins, We should trust him to make us right with God. We should trust him to set us free from the penalty of sin. And we should trust him to set us free from the power of sin. Let's do this. Let's live completely free from sin through faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen.